Welcome to episode 1094 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The antediluvian or pre-flood world in the first six chapters of Genesis is shrouded in mystery, leaving many questions about its culture, society, and spiritual condition. How advanced was human society before the flood? Did they develop writing, governments, or large cities? What kind of technological and architectural advancements did they achieve, given that metalwork and city building were already present? How did early humans organize themselves socially and politically? Were there kings or rulers, or was society more tribal? How did Cain's descendants shape civilization compared to Seth's line? Was there significant cultural divergence? Were there early forms of art, literature, or philosophy? Scholars debate the technological and societal progress of pre-flood civilization. Genesis 4 verses 17 to 22 describes early human advancements, including city building, music, metalwork, and livestock management. Some believe this suggests rapid cultural and technological progress, while others view these as basic foundations of civilization rather than highly developed societies. The Bible does not mention writing explicitly, but early writing systems like cuneiform in Mesopotamia date to approximately 3100 BC. Scholars debate whether Genesis was passed down through oral tradition or written sources. The tablet theory suggests Genesis may have compiled earlier written records. Given Cain's founding of a city, some scholars suggest there was some form of governance, though the nature of these systems is unknown. Some scholars infer tribal or patriarchal rule was the dominant structure, as genealogies emphasize lineage and inheritance. Others suggest the presence of early kingdoms or chiefdoms, given the mention of cities and organized labor. Music and metalwork suggest aesthetic and technological creativity. What exactly did it mean in Genesis 6 verse 5 that every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually? Scholars interpret this as total moral corruption, a society where sin had become systemic. Some link this to violence, oppression, and idolatry, while others see it as divine hyperbole emphasizing sin's pervasiveness. Did people still worship God by Genesis 6, or was there widespread idolatry and rebellion? Genesis 4:26 suggests some began to call upon the name of the Lord, implying worship was still practiced. However, Genesis 6:5 suggests most people turned away from God, leading to the flood judgment. Why was Noah the only righteous person mentioned? Were there others who followed God not named in the narrative? Some scholars believe Noah was uniquely obedient. Others suggest his righteousness was relative to the extreme wickedness of the time. There is debate about whether other righteous people may have existed but unmentioned. It is likely Noah's righteousness could have been at least in part attributed to his upbringing. His great-grandfather was Enoch, who walked with God. And though Noah was not born before Enoch's translation, he likely heard about how his ancestor lived. It is likely Enoch's son and Noah's grandfather Methuselah was also a righteous man. His long life serves as a testament to the relative longevity of people before the flood and suggests his lifespan served as a witness to the antediluvian world, a period of extended opportunity for repentance before the flood. His name, meaning when he is dead it shall be sent, is interpreted as a prophecy of the coming flood. His death, occurring just before the flood, is seen as a significant event marking the final end of a long period of divine forbearance. Noah's father, Lamech, was also likely righteous. Note, this is not the same Lamech descended from Cain. The name Noah is derived from a Hebrew word, which means to rest. It can also imply consolation or comfort. Lamech named his son Noah, saying in Genesis 5 verse 29, "This one will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." This suggests that Lamech hoped Noah would bring relief and comfort from the hardships of their labor, due to the curse on the ground after Adam's sin. The name, therefore, carries a sense of hope for a better future and a respite from hardship. Lamech's faith in naming Noah can be interpreted as another prophecy related to the flood and the rest Noah would bring. Lamech died 5 years before the flood. While the Bible doesn't explicitly mention Methuselah and Lamech's direct physical involvement in building the ark, they may have offered spiritual support. They likely shared Noah's faith and supported his work through their preaching and influence. It is reasonable to assume that they too warned the people of the impending judgment, calling them to repentance. Their righteousness and warnings even if unheeded by the majority, contributed to the overall witness against the wickedness of the pre-flood world. What did it mean that the earth was filled with violence, according to Genesis 6:11? Was this due to personal conflicts, organized warfare, or spiritual corruption? Most scholars interpret this as societal lawlessness, oppression, and murder, possibly including warfare or exploitation. Some link it to the influence of the Nephilim, though interpretations vary. Were Cain's descendants responsible for moral corruption, or did Seth's lineage also fall into wickedness over time? Based on the biblical account, moral corruption was not limited to Cain's lineage alone. While Cain's line is initially associated with the first recorded acts of violence, Cain's murder of Abel and Lamech's boast of killing, the text shows that wickedness became universal across human society. The first seven verses of Genesis chapter 6 makes this clear. The text states that when people began to multiply on the face of the earth, not just Cain's line, wickedness increased. Genesis 6:5 specifically says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This refers to humanity as a whole. While Seth's line included godly figures like Enoch, who walked with God, by Noah's time, corruption had become so widespread that only Noah and his family were considered righteous. And by extension, we can include his father and grandfather. Interestingly, Genesis 6 verses 1 and 2 describes sons of God, often interpreted as Seth's godly line, intermarrying with daughters of men, potentially Cain's line, suggesting that moral corruption eventually crossed familial lines. This universal corruption ultimately led to the flood, where God preserved only Noah's family, descendants of Seth, not Cain. Yet even after the flood, sin continued through Noah's descendants, showing that the tendency toward wickedness wasn't limited to any particular genetic line, but was, and is, a universal human condition. The biblical narrative thus presents moral corruption as a problem of human nature itself, rather than being limited to one particular family line. How did people live for hundreds of years before the flood? Genesis 5 records that pre-flood humans lived for centuries, with Methuselah reaching 969 years. Some suggest a protective canopy shielded humanity, reducing disease and extending lifespan. Another theory is that early humans had fewer genetic mutations, leading to longevity. And some scholars argue the lifespans could be symbolic, representing wisdom or dynastic reigns. Did extreme longevity affect civilization? If people lived for centuries, they could accumulate vast amounts of knowledge and refine technology over long periods. A person living for 800 plus years could master multiple fields, engineering, medicine, astronomy, architecture, etc., possibly leading to rapid advancements. The ability to pass down knowledge directly, instead of relying on incomplete historical records, could have accelerated innovation. Long lifespans could have allowed for rapid population growth and knowledge accumulation, but also prolonged wickedness. What was the world like before the flood? Some scholars propose a milder, globally temperate climate, possibly with different weather patterns. Did rain exist before the flood? Genesis 2 verses 5 and 6 suggest that rain had not yet fallen, leading some to propose that rain was a new phenomenon introduced by the flood. Prior to the judgment, the earth was watered only by mists and underground springs. Were there vast continents, or was the geography different? Some theories suggest one massive landmass, like Pangaea, before the flood reshaped the earth. The antediluvian world was one of great potential and innovation, yet it was ultimately marked by moral corruption, unchecked violence, and a rejection of God. Though humanity achieved advancements in technology, culture, and social structures, they failed to cultivate righteousness, leading to divine judgment through the flood. This lost civilization serves as a sobering reminder that true progress is not measured by human achievement alone, but by a heart that seeks God's wisdom and righteousness. Father, help us to learn from the past and seek righteousness in a world that often prioritizes progress over faithfulness. Teach us to call upon your name, walk in obedience, and build lives that honor you, just as Noah did in his generation. May we be found faithful when you call, and may our hearts remain steadfast in a world that so easily turns away from you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.